To our Pathways to Blessing study as we continue. And I will say this, we're kind of getting towards the tail end of this study. We have to go to the most famous blessed verses in all the Bible, which are the Beatitudes. And it's likely that we will start those next week. We'll do those one at a time. You might have already guessed that, but there is plenty there, and so that will probably be our backstretch for the Pathways to Blessing, but we will continue praying over the next few weeks about our next Wednesday night topic and kind of continue to go down the line of either studying a book together or a specific topic and going through the scriptures on or by that basis. But for tonight, we're in Psalm 33:12, and it is a verse that is misquoted many times. And one of the great things about studying the Bible, not just reading it, but studying it, and you'll see this in just a moment as we open it up and see it together, is things don't always mean what we think they mean on the surface. You got to do just a little bit of digging below the surface to get to it. So the reason that I say this is misquoted many times is, how many times have you heard this verse, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord," maybe around the 4th of July or other kinds of patriotic type days would be a time to maybe pull this out of context and use that maybe for the front of your bulletin, you know? Because we do that from time to time, but just a little bit of digging actually shows us some pretty dynamic things about not only that statement, but the statement after it as well as we get to it. So we continue to find week after week that we desire to be blessed. How many of you in here still have the desire to be blessed? You still want the blessing of the Lord? Good. All right. So the pathways to blessing we have encountered have been eye-opening and I believe very compelling as well. For instance, remember last week's pathway? Do you remember what that was? There you go. Wait upon the Lord. And what did we find out with just a little bit of digging that word wait meant in Psalm 27? Do you remember? There you go. Orville, you're getting 2 stars tonight, man. I'm telling you. It means that we are to bind ourselves up, or literally the word weight means to twist up like a rope. So to bind oneself up, that's what we learned last week, is the weight of blessing is to wait on the Lord, that is, tie ourselves up to the Lord. Remember I used the analogy of the three-legged race? And that way we are bound to the Lord, and when He moves, we move. Right? And that's the way we need to find a pathway to blessing. If we are going to be blessed, then we need to do as God's Word tells us to do. And in that particular instance, it's not move until God moves. That's the easiest way to understand that. It only took about 30 minutes to get that through last week. So for this message, we look at Psalm 33:12, and there is some interesting language here that must be explored. So as we unpack this verse, we're going to soon see the key to being a blessed people. Let's kind of, there's many applications to this verse, okay? But let's kind of keep it within our church, our community, at least for this particular message. We will obviously see by the end of the message how that there can be a huge ripple effect, not only just in our city, but then also in our county, in our state, in our nation, in our world afterwards. But let's kind of try to keep it localized as much as possible. the key to being a blessed people. Now, I believe that most of us want to be a blessed people. However, we might have some wrong views on how to make that happen. Within this verse, there is potential for blessing. So it is up to us to do three things tonight. We need to see it, understand it, and apply it. So let's start. Let's first of all start by seeing it. Okay, that's where your handout begins tonight. We must see it. The verse of Scripture that we're focusing on for this message says, again, verse 12, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance." It is important, as always, especially in studying the Bible, to get to know the verbiage of the verse through the meaning of the words. So we start with this meaning. Once again, we know that to be blessed is to have joy and contentment in life and in our relationship with God, no matter the circumstances. I just kind of want to hit that about every 2 or 3 weeks so we remember what it means to be blessed. That is what that word blessed means throughout the Scriptures. It means to have joy and contentment in life and in our relationship with God, no matter the circumstances. Difficult at times? Absolutely. There are happy days and there are drab days, and there's everything in between. But how do we attain blessed days? It's through having a joy and contentment in our relationship with the Lord, no matter what our circumstances. So, this verse describes two people or two groups of people who can know this sort of blessing. You see them there? Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And then you have the semicolon. And then you have the word and, the conjunction, which means that you move the subject, blessed, back down into the second part of that and say, and blessed is the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. So there are two groups of people here that can attain a blessing. First is the word nation, right? The nation is our next fill in the blank there. And this word actually comes from the Hebrew word gawi or goi, okay? G-O-W-Y in English letters, which means, and this is what the word nation means here, it means amassing of a foreign nation. A Gentile nation is what is assumed here. Okay? So the first people who can know this blessing is the nation. The word means amassing of foreign people, a Gentile nation. Also, some other synonyms would be heathen nation, infidel nation. That's the word nation. Now, how many of you are already going, well, that doesn't mean what I thought it meant? How many of you are already thinking, well, that describes a lot of things and a lot of people. But it can describe a lot of different things, okay? So automatically, just by digging or unpacking just a second with one word, now this verse turns dramatically, doesn't it? very quickly. Okay? So, the second, or that's the word nation here in the text. The second is that the second blessed people group would be the people, and blessed is the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. These chosen people are the central characters of the Old Testament. They are naturally the Jews, right? God's chosen people who inherited the promised land. So, we are seeing this verse first, and we see the two people groups who can receive the blessings here described. Okay? Now, let's begin to understand it. All right? That's the second part of your handout. After we see it, let's begin to understand it. Since the nation and the chosen people all desire blessing in life, and who doesn't desire blessings who are in their right mind? Right? How does it happen? Well, let's begin again with the nation. The foreigners, the outsiders, the ones who have not received God's laws and promises. Okay? The people that are not focused on necessarily in the Old Testament. The nation then would not normally seek God. Does that make sense? Okay, why? Because God's not sought them. Let's think about that for a second. Do we seek God or does He seek us? He always seeks us. All right? From the garden, He has always sought us out. Because within us, there's none righteous, no, not one. Our righteousness comes from Christ, who did something about our unrighteousness, sought us out. Correct? Okay? So, with this nation out there, they're not going to just all of a sudden have this light bulb moment unless God does something. Correct? They're going to stay outsiders, foreigners, the nation. But we see that they have the potential to be blessed. Blessed is the nation, the foreigners, the unknowns, the outsiders, the infidels, the heathens, or as we say in West Texas, the heathens. They can be blessed with the Lord as their God, right? Or God as their Lord, as the verse says. So, these are not people who would normally seek God, so they must be shown the blessing of the Lord by someone. Does that make sense? They would need to be shown how to receive blessings. Just one quick Old Testament example comes to mind very quickly, just as a form of illustration here. There was a man, very well-to-do man, uppity in the Syrian army named Naaman. And Naaman was a leper. That was really the only problem he had, but join me in thinking that's a pretty big problem. Right? He was a general, most trusted, right-hand man of the king, and so Naaman had gone in and plundered the Jews and taken some captives back, and he brought into his home a young girl. And the young girl got to know that Naaman had this big problem known as leprosy. And she told one of the higher-ups in the servants' quarters one day, "Would to God that my master knew of the prophet in Israel, Elisha." You remember? So it took a little child to show an infidel leader, a Gentile leader, there was hope. Right? And you know what happened? You know, Naaman goes to Elisha's house. Elisha just stays in the back bedroom watching football. He didn't come out, man. I mean, he's kicked back with nacho cheese Doritos and Cokes, man. I mean, he's just chowing, and he just sends probably Gehazi, or however you want to pronounce it, his servant probably sent him to the door to tell Naaman what to do. And of course, Naaman got pretty upset about that whole deal and thought at least the guy could have come and offered me some Coke and nacho cheese Doritos, right? Don't you like my version of the Bible? The imagination run wild kind of sort. But anyway, so he got all upset, and finally they calmed Naaman down and they said, look, if he'd have told you to go do some outrageous things or some pay some outrageous money or go dip in some of the nicest pools, you would have done that. But he just told you to go down here to the Jordan, dip 7 times, and you'll be healed. And Naaman said, you know, gruff and stomp and all that kind of stuff to the Jordan River, went over, dipped 7 times. And guess what? He came out, his flesh was healed again. But how did all that happen? Because a little child who was a chosen one of the inheritance of Israel said, boy, if Naaman could only get to the prophet in Israel, she showed him the way to God. That's the issue here, because these are people who would not normally seek God. They must be shown the blessing of the Lord by somebody. So who might that someone be, according to this verse? It's the second part, isn't it? You got it. It's the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Who's going to show? God's chosen who have inherited God's promises. What would they show this nation? This nation of Gentiles serving other gods. They would show God's love, God's law, and God's liberty. I just decided to go with some alliteration there since I hadn't in any of the other part of the message. God's love, God's law, and God's liberty. That's what they were to show. Then, verse 12 would truly come to pass. Blessed would be the foreigners outside of the realm of the chosen. Blessed would be the infidels. Blessed would be the heathens who have seen, been shown by the chosen, the ones who have the inheritance, how to make the Lord their God. And not Baal, Ashtaroth, all of the other gods that you read about that were the popular gods of the day. Okay? So, do you see it in your mind? Do you understand it now? Okay, let's do the third thing. Let's apply it. Let's apply it together. The ones who have received the blessing must show others how to receive the blessings or the divine favor of the Lord. Unfortunately, we might look around our city, our state, our nation, and see that this is just not the truth anymore. It's not. Just as Israel fell short of showing the way to blessing to other nations around them, so are we. So are we. Are we really loving our neighbor as ourselves if we don't show them the way to blessing? We lived in Mesquite at this one particular house for 2 years. And I am ashamed to tell you this, but it's true, so I might as well just be transparent. We had a neighbor on the corner that we knew, and we invited them to church a few times. I think they said they went a little bit or something like that, but we knew them a little bit. And the only reason we really got to know them was we had a tree that overhung our property and theirs, and we had to get it cut down, and there was potential foundation problems and all that kind of stuff from this big cottonwood tree that was beside our houses. But it was on our property. Lucky us, right? So that's kind of the reason we got to know them. I never, ever one time met our across-the-street neighbors three houses in front of us. And the house on the other side of us was, are they from India? Pakistani or something? They were. And they had, I don't even know how many people living in a pretty big house, but it's a lot of people in this house. And I talked to them occasionally. Most of the time, it was when we were all out trying to get rid of the fire ants, you know? And I'm ashamed to tell you that I didn't do a very good job of telling my neighbors just in that neighborhood how to be blessed. And I am a chosen child of God who have a glorious inheritance waiting for me. Just as Israel inherited the promised land because they were God's chosen people. Here's the deal. Blessings are not to hoard. Blessings are to share, but blessings are more importantly, blessings are to be the thing that other people see in our lives, and we're able to share with them how to know these kinds of blessings. We are the witnesses, are we not? Isn't that what we've been called to be and to do in this life? So Israel fell short. And do you know, let's see where we are on our... Let's go ahead and answer the first question there. The nations around Israel were not blessed because God's people had fallen prey to false gods and complacency. False gods and complacency. You read the Old Testament from 1 Samuel, from Judges all the way up to 2 Chronicles. You read it, okay? And it's over and over again. Really, you don't have to read much more than just Judges to see that a generation after Joshua, they were already letting false gods come in. Remember? And they were worshiping Baal. And then all of just the roller coaster ride of Judges until you get to the end, which Judges ends probably as awful as any book ever. Not just in the Bible, but ever. Because of the false gods and the complacency. You see, they got to the promised land. They got what was promised them. They canned all they got. They didn't share the blessings. And God wanted them to be the nation that shared the blessings in the surrounding area. Just as He calls us to be witnesses of the blessings we have received through knowing and having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the exciting part about being a witness. We get to tell other people how to live a blessed life. Our problem is we want the blessings, but we don't want to share the pathway. We don't want to tell others how to get there. We want to hoard the blessings. Therefore, what do? We get blessed and we get distracted. By what? Gods. Other gods. Mostly in America today, wrapped up in things. things become huge distractions slash gods with a little g in our lives, right? And before you know it, we're worshiping and paying more attention to them than we do on God. Wouldn't it just be justifiable of God to just immediately yank the rug out from under our legs? But he usually doesn't do that, does he? If he did, we would probably be a little bit better at showing other outsiders of the faith, other nations, how to know blessing, how to make the Lord their God with a big G. So they fell prey to false gods, but also to complacency. Now that probably describes the American church better than any other word today. Just sitting back and hey guys, we're just waiting for the rapture. We're just chilling till Jesus comes and the trumpet blows. Well, excuse me, but that's not, the Great Commission didn't end back in about 1960, did it? The Great Commission continues on till when? Till we leave this earth, right? Through death or through rapture. So, what's the problem? The problem is complacency. And it's a rampant problem everywhere, and it's the reason, one of the other reasons why we don't show other people how to be blessed. Others outside the faith. For this reason, God removed the blessing of His presence with His people. Did you know that? You read that in Ezekiel. In Ezekiel, it describes how that the high priest was going into the Holy of Holies and the presence of God never showed up. Didn't come down like all the other years prior. Why is that? Well, they weren't living like it the other 359 days a year. So why would he show up on that 360th day? You see? So ultimately, you know what happened to the nation of Israel. The northern kingdom got overtaken by the Assyrians. And the southern kingdom lasted a couple of generations further and ultimately got overtaken by the Babylonians. And that sent them into 70 years of captivity as forecasted by Jeremiah and realized by Daniel. And ultimately ended when a heathen king signed a decree and let Zerubbabel take a group back to build the to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. Ultimately, that got constructed. Ezra came and helped them out. Haggai preached pretty hard to them that, you know, you're living in your own sealed houses. You've already gone back to the lap of complacency and you want to hoard your own blessings. Haggai had to shake them out of that. God's preachers are there to do His work. And so once he preached to them about all of that, then they got the temple built. And then Nehemiah gets shaken up, you remember? Nehemiah goes back and he gets the walls built around Jerusalem, and that's what's standing when Jesus comes. It's pretty amazing. But it was a huge fall off from David and Solomon down to Nebuchadnezzar and Nebuchadnezzar Dan coming in and destroying Jerusalem. Huge fall. I will say this, during the reign of David, we get some indications that David was certainly influential in the region, right? Probably the most powerful king of his day, as well as Solomon was. But in the time that David reigned in Jerusalem, there was the idea that he was influencing other nations. And you can read and see those things in 2 Samuel in the early stages, the first several chapters. But did he fully commit to that? Probably not. And then did Solomon ever really commit to that? Probably not. But it's about the closest that they came at any given time. So again, God removed the blessing of His presence with His people. Does that sound familiar to you? We who have been chosen must influence others and show them the pathway to blessing. It's your final word there. We who have been chosen must influence others and show them the pathway to blessing. Again, God's blessings were not meant to be hoarded. They were meant to be shared. The gospel was not meant to stay within you. It was meant to be broadcasted. Go ye into all the world and do what? Preach. Do you know what the word preach means? You're all close. You're right on track. It actually means to be a herald. You remember back in the old days when the paper boys stood on the side of extra, extra, read all about it. You probably only see it in the black and white movies. Right? Extra, extra. What was he doing? Heralding. That I've got some news that you need to know and you need to, you know, come over here and pay a couple of pennies for it probably back then. Right? That's what the word preach means. It means to herald it, to tell, to proclaim it. Romans 10:13 through 15, probably up in the top five of my favorite verses in all the Bible, just in case you're keeping count. Romans 10:13 says, we know this, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Aren't you glad if you're a believer tonight that you're a part of the whosoever? Right? But the Bible does say whosoever. That means whosoever. Correct? We established that a couple of weeks ago. Well, does that mean the nation of foreigners? It does. That's still whosoever. Does that also mean the ones He has chosen for His own inheritance? Well, absolutely it does there. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But then verse 14 says, how shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in Him and who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? A herald. That's you and that's me. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Ultimately, shouldn't the gospel be what's permeating our society through us toward our city being blessed, toward our county being blessed, toward our state being blessed, toward our nation being blessed, toward the uttermost parts of the earth being blessed? But is that happening? No. We're failing. Let's just be real honest with each other. We're failing there. If we're going to be that blessed city, state, nation, world, we who have been chosen must be the influence. I would say it's time to put away the gods of this world, wouldn't you? And turn our hearts completely over to the Lord for His leadership. I would also say it's time to set aside complacency and step up as one who shows others the path to real blessing in this world and in the world to come is through a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Wouldn't you say that? So I propose to you that we who are the chosen of the Lord should desire for those who do not know the blessings of the Lord to know them. And you and I, there's enough of us in here tonight. There's enough of us in here tonight could start to show that and start to make a real difference in the world around us. So do you see it? Do you understand it? Now let's apply it.